The New Testament reading is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for us, a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him.
It's been a big week, hadn't it? Lots of things have happened, lots of excitement, lots of pain, lots of joy. It's been a big week. But really, pretty much almost every week is a big week, right? There are things that happen in our lives and things that we do. This last Wednesday, it was such a joy and a pleasure to spend a lot of time in this sanctuary as people came through and went to different prayer stations to experience the beginning of Lent. It's my favorite day. I love Ash Wednesday. I especially love prayer stations, and so there you go. It reminds me, though, that Lent, the season of Lent, Ash Wednesday, the practice of going through the prayer stations, are all practices. And I believe it's part of our best practices. Now, I can tell you some of my worst practices. It might have been the time that my parents bought a piano, and it might have been the time that I had to start taking piano lessons. When you're about 10 years old, piano lessons seem like a really great idea, don't they? It'd be awesome. I can't wait to just sit down and play the piano. As Rick will tell you, and as Rick has shown us, Rick was very good at practicing. I, on the other hand, not so much. My mom kept this little timer because we had to practice 30 minutes a day. Rick, how many minutes did you practice a day? Hours, right? Yeah. Well, I learned how, in between the songs I was practicing, I learned how to kind of turn that timer up a tick or two. Three or four. I couldn't make it so short that Mother would really know. But if I could shave off about 4 minutes on my practice time. Now, as an adult, it breaks my heart. I wish I had had that tenacity to be able to sit down and play the piano. Years later, as some of you know, when I was teaching school, I got my teaching job because I said I would coach sixth grade girls basketball. I didn't know anything about it. But you know, it was August. Basketball season doesn't start, well, you know, November, December at the elementary school. I've got plenty of time. And then I had to learn how to coach basketball very quickly. And practice was so important. One of the differences between my piano practice and the girls' basketball practice is that they could hardly wait to get into the gym to practice. And when it was time to go, there would always be about three or four girls that would go, "Oh, can we just practice longer? My mom can wait. She's just sitting in the car. It'll be just fine." It was a huge difference. But practices are so important. They gave us the example of Rick and Judy, who practice and can play so that we can sing the hymns. But they're important to our faith as well. Coming to church every Sunday is a practice. When I was growing up, unless I was sick and I had to prove it to my parents, I was going to church. That's just what we did in our family. Every Sunday we went to church. We went to Sunday school, we went to church. And then we went home, and then the other practice was that after dinner, I had to wash the dishes, or my sister. I didn't like that practice as much, but in our faith, we need to practice. We come to church on Sundays so that we can hear Scripture, so that we can be together as a community, so we can share what God has done in our life, and so we can also share the burdens that we feel. I love that about our faith. And the season of Lent is truly my favorite season of all. I don't have to worry about all of the decorating, and I don't have to worry about the actual Christmas day and do I have the right gifts or do I not. I get to just be in the presence of God. It's one of the reasons that I just absolutely love prayer stations. I can be in the presence of God. And in fact, on Thursday, as we were kind of tearing them down and I was thinking about it, Rick and I have kind of been talking about and toying with the idea that maybe downstairs in the chapel we'll set up a prayer station, and then every couple of months we'll change it. And then that way, if you want to come in and you don't want to just sit in the chapel, which is a delightful, wonderful place to sit anyway, so I think we're going to do that. As soon as I get it set up, I'll let you know. I love that practice of our faith. Many of you in this room have wonderful practices. Some of you get up each morning and you read your Bible. Some of you go to Bible studies on Mondays and other days. Some of you say prayers all the way through the day. Some of you have a specific time, whether it's before a meal, whether it's before you go to sleep at night. We practice our faith continually, and Lent reminds us why we do. We practice because God loved us so much that Jesus came to this earth and died for us. So we practice. Reading Scripture is also a practice. I'm not as good at that. You would think I would be, but I'm not. I sometimes get myself sidetracked, and I'll start reading Scripture, and it will remind me of something else, and I need to go look that up. And it may be something else in the Bible, and it may be something that I thought I knew, or it may be a reminder of a book that I haven't seen, and so I need to go find it. But I think that's okay, because practices sometimes take us on those journeys. This season, we're studying, not exclusively, but we'll be studying the book of Mark. When I was in seminary, my New Testament professor, who happened to be my Old Testament professor too, he had this way of testing us. And we knew that each time we took a test, there would be one page, and it would just be a scripture. And we had to, and it was something that we'd just been studying, and we had to cite the book that it came from and why it was important. And then he usually threw in something else, like what it means to you. Now, I don't know if that sounds difficult to you, but it was really tough, except when we did the Gospels, because all of the Gospels were a little bit different. And Mark especially had this really great tell. In the book of Mark, it's short. It's shorter than the other three Gospels. And there was an urgency. Everything was done quickly, immediately. Immediately, we have to go do this. And the focus was Jesus' ministry and that became confrontational, but Jesus' idea to defeat the forces opposed to God's intentions for all of humankind. And then the second focus was Jesus' experience, especially in the wild. All of the old rules and expectations no longer applied once Jesus came. And we're reminded that Jesus is present. So, today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Are you ready? Because your heads are going to spin. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Did your head spin? Did you see how much the author of Mark packed into those six verses? Look at everything that happened. Everything that went quickly. And yet, there are still three main sections. There's the baptism of Jesus in verses 9 through 11. And then in 12 and 13, immediately, did you see the word immediately? Did you say, "See, I could pass Dr. Eford's test"? I saw immediately in there. Immediately, Jesus is tempted. And then in verses 14 and 15, it's what some scholars call, especially in the book of Mark, this is Jesus's inaugural ministry, his inaugural sermon. Immediately he said, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." It's very fast. And the Gospel of Mark goes very quickly. Sometimes I need that. I need that kind of very quick movement that gets me through. I need to have a story condensed a little bit. Now, not every time. And that's the beauty of having four Gospels. However, this is a reminder that in verse 15, the first part, so what we call 15a, it says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near." This is the key passage for Jesus. The time is now. In the church, that's what Lent is like. The time is now for us to remember all that God has done for us and how we can go through our days, how we can live, and how we can be examples of Christ. Jesus reminds us that this reign is more than just spiritual existence. It's actually a brand new understanding that God is part of all facets of our life. Everything we say, everything we do, every job we have, every experience with our friends, every time we are together with family, God is present, and we are to be examples. Jesus' reign is not just for Sundays. It's not just for people that go to church, but it's for all facets of our life. And it feels to me that Mark just wants us to get there quickly. We need to know this information so that we can put it in our hearts, so that we can let our souls and our spirits feed on the Word of God. And I love this. And here is the good news. Because Jesus tells us that we are to repent. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent. Oftentimes, I don't know how you feel about that, but oftentimes I hear that word, especially before I went to seminary, and it filled me a little bit with dread. It made me think of having to sit down with somebody like my father or my mother or my minister or my youth worker and just tell them everything that I've done that was wrong. Okay, most of those people knew all the things that I do that are wrong, but there were a few secrets I kept, especially from mom and dad. But I don't believe that that's exactly what God has in mind. Oh, there's nothing wrong with repenting to each other and asking for forgiveness, especially when I have done something that might have harmed you. That's on me to come to you and ask for your forgiveness. I need to do that. But I believe that God wants this repentance not to make us feel miserable and not to make us feel awful. That God gives us the gift of repentance because it turns our minds away from this thing I have done, this thing I have said, this thing I believe, and it turns it 180 degrees to face God. And if Scripture is to be believed, and I believe it is, that means that God is looking at us and saying, I love you. No matter what it is I say to God that I've done, no matter what it is I say I confess to God, God is not like many of us, not like a strict principal who is going to say, all right, well, now you have to write 150 times, I will not, dot, dot, dot. I'm not going to tell you all those things I did. Well, I will tell you someday, but not right now. This is the deal, that when that happens, when we turn 180 degrees and face God and realize that God is always with us and is just right there, I believe that God says, well, I love you. Let's go eat ice cream. Maybe God doesn't say ice cream, but maybe God says, well, donuts. I truly believe that God is not saying, now you have to do this because you have been so naughty. I believe that God is saying, oh, my child, I love you so much. And God is smiling. During this Lent, as we walk through the days, and some of them will be dark and some of them will be light, I pray that you will feel that too. Maybe you already do, and maybe you could have said, Laura, what took you so long? We've been there way before you, and good on you. Good on all of us. But may we remember that God is powered by mercy and love. God loves us so completely and is so merciful to us that when we repent and when we turn our mind toward God, we will get it. Lent is the season that we're reminded constantly to turn our lives to God, to listen to God's good news, and to feel God's mercy wrap us up. Whether it's in arms like pretzels, or whether it's an arm around our shoulders, God is for us. And so who can be against us? May your Lenten season show you God's grace and God's mercy. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.